God. Then he says you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. In other words, how to live your life. We need to think correctly and rightly about Christ and his teachings. You know, ironically, did you know that no one operates without some kind of doctrine? Right? Anyone, pick anyone. Everyone has some kind of doctrine. We all have it. The predominant doctrine of our culture, as I call it, is simply the glory of humankind. The glory of humankind. It believes it can save itself. Thus, the popular doctrine is human love is all you need. Right? Love is important, but is human love all you need? Remember the Beatles' famous song? Maybe most of us are too young. Love is all you need, they sang. But Christianity says every one of us needs the love of Jesus Christ and his forgiveness. Yes, we need love and we need it desperately, but it's the love of Jesus that we need and his forgiveness. We need Jesus, simply. The world needs Jesus to become truly mature human beings. In him, we find the essence of love and truth. So, that's the truth part. And so, the truth of Christ, the right doctrine is necessary, but so is Christ's love, and love in us, and love for others. And this is where we go wrong as well. Speak the truth of Christ in love, Paul says. It belongs together. God's truth should not be demonstrated with a sledgehammer. Why is that so? Well, just look at Jesus' life. His life is embodied. God's life is embodied in the person of Jesus, who came in truth and love all at the same time by giving up his own life for the world. So let that sink in. He comes in truth, but he comes in love. He gives up himself for the world. That's just this incredible act of love. In fact, the world hated him, John reminds us. But he responded in truth in love. What did he do? He came proclaiming to be from God who could forgive sins. That's the truth part. The real controversial part. Why the world hated him, right? How could you be saying that? How could you be saying you're from God, etc.? Forgiveness of sins? Only God could do that. But he was walking in truth. This is who he was. And he was put to death because of it. But in death, Jesus demonstrated his great love for the world. He allowed himself to be arrested and taken and killed so that we could know him. And so that we could be with him, and so the world would know about a way to God. Truth and love is the gospel of Christ. But one reason why some people criticize Christianity is because, and this is very unfortunate, they do not witness Christians walking in love. It's a challenge. Mature believers bring the truth of Christ and love together in a package. It becomes part of their lives. When you love Jesus, you love one another and you obey his commands. It all belongs together. So, Perhaps you have some non-believing friends. I hope you do. And maybe at this point in your relationship with them, they may not agree with the doctrinal part, right? The identity of Jesus. That's all normal, folks, right? This is all a process. They may not agree about the claims of Jesus. Maybe you haven't even got on to that topic yet. And but the question is, in your witness to them, do they sense authentic love from you? Because it's really going to help on the truth end. Because in a lot of ways, they might not agree on the doctrine side of who Jesus is, but when there is genuine love coming from your life, you're going to be way more convincing about the identity of Christ through you. And so we clearly need to pray for the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of your friends, but also we clearly need to pray for ourselves that we would walk in genuine love, that God's love in me would flow out to others, that it would be real and genuine, right? It's a challenge. So remember, truth should not be demonstrated with a sledgehammer, but through your loving life. Don't compromise truth, right? Sometimes we think we need to protect truth with a sledgehammer. You don't have to do that. He's good, right? In fact, you protect truth with your love, God's love in you. So as I wrap up here, let me just go back to the verses that I skipped. And these are verses 11 to 13. And these are actually very famous verses. God has gifted leaders to equip us for works of ministry. And this is all part of God's design. The maturity of the body depends on the body using their gifts to serve. So here in Ephesians chapter 4, it's actually not what you call a classic gifts passage, but it focuses on the leadership gifts. So he says, "So Christ himself gave apostles and prophets and the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up." So these are gifted leaders, spiritual gifts in different ways, but they were all critical in the founding of the early church. And so the apostles are known as people who witnessed the resurrection of Jesus. And so these are people like, you know, John and Peter and Matthew. Since Jesus' resurrection is the foundation of church, those who witnessed the resurrection of Jesus were the first preachers or apostles. And primarily, these are the guys that God used to write down the New Testament. Then there were early Christian prophets. They spoke in the name of Christ, and they provided guidance and direction even before the New Testament was written. Then there were the evangelists, and they proclaimed the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection, proclaiming Jesus to be the true Messiah, to be the true King for the world. Pastors looked after the new and young independent churches, and teachers train them up in greater understanding of Christ and his teaching. Now, today, we tend to think of pastors and teachers as the ones who do ministry. And so we call them the full-time ministers, we give them a salary, and we expect them to do the ministry. But Paul doesn't think that way at all. He has it basically the other way around. He says it is the saints, every believers, who do the work of ministry for God. The apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are all gifted by God for one purpose. That is to equip, to train, to prepare God's people for works of ministry, for the Lord's service. So it is the people of God, everyday people, that do the ministry. You know, perhaps the idea, you know, we could take an idea of in sports they have the player coach. And I think that kind of fits the role of the pastors and teachers today. Their focus is all about training, raising up, equipping everyday ministers to build up the church. And I mean small M ministers, everyday people, using the gifts that God has given to you. Moving us from being babies into mature believers with a greater vision of attaining the full measure of Christ. So let me just kind of end with a final image. As you know, or maybe not know, the Canadian women's soccer team or football team for the rest of the world finally won the gold medal at the Tokyo Olympics. It was on so early, no one really noticed, right? They finally got the gold medal. They had bronze, I think, a couple times. But you know what? Their success would not be possible if each soccer player, you know, without each soccer player contributing their unique gifts. Some of the ladies, you know, they're on defense. They're distributing the ball. They're blocking the ball. They rarely score a goal. Goals are rarely scored in soccer anyway, but my point is everyone uniquely is using their specific skills on the field. And they would not be successful without the contribution also of their coaches who encourage, they train, they equip, they add insight into what their players are doing and helping to lead a cohesive whole. Now, of course, our vision is not gold medals, although God does promise a crown one day. But it's about the fullness of Christ. It's about maturity. It's about growing in Christ. It's about the church going deeper and deeper in love with Christ so that they make a difference in this world, to win the world for Himself, to go far beyond being infants, bobbing up and down in the tossed sea, but instead to be anchored, mature, fully developed, emotional, spiritual believers in Jesus Christ, living in truth, in love. I mean, it's a great, great vision. But it's also a challenge, isn't it? Because in God's grace, He gives you these gifts and He says, you're part of my team now. And I want to use you, yes, each and every one of you, to build up this body so the world knows who Jesus is. He changed your life. Now He wants your help to help change the lives of everyone in this church and in the world outside. So remember, we are part of a team that needs to be one, unified, as we talked about last week. But God also has created a diverse group of people, all for the purpose of growing up, mature in Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we just bless you. We thank you for your incredible grace. And in your grace, you gave us your Holy Spirit, and you gave us every spiritual blessing in Christ, and you gave us the privilege of serving you. And you've wired each of us in a certain unique way. You love us so much that you gifted us to serve you. What a privilege. Help us to be people who understand this calling and absorb within our life your love and your truth to make a difference in the lives of people that you bring to our world and to our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you you want to stand and join us in our last song. How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living. The grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus roars his victory. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free.
as you go, I just have a verse from 1 Thessalonians for you I'd like to read. And my prayer for you this week. And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. And may He, as a result, make your hearts strong and blameless and holy as you stand before God our Father when our Lord Jesus comes again with all His holy people. Amen. All right. May you be blessed as you walk with Him this week and as He uses you where you are. Have a great week.